Good morning. We're going to go ahead and get started with some announcements. And we will be in 1 Peter. So just to let you know, we're going from Romans now to 1 Peter. Come back on Wednesday nights and we're studying 1 John. So looking forward to it. We had a great time in the first service just walking through 1 Peter. There will be a VBS meeting today at 4:15 for anyone who has signed up to help or plans to help during Vacation Bible School. Please make every effort to attend. See Jen Heine if you have any questions. Tuesday is the final day to turn in fees and completed forms for Camp Mac to the UBA office. We still have forms available at the welcome desk. Fellowship / chicken dinner Wednesday, July the 3rd, this coming Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. There will be no other services. The church will be providing fish and chicken and hush puppies, with the remainder of the meal being potluck. Bring a side dish or dessert to share and bring a friend. So we added chicken to this because for those fish people, I mean those people that don't like fish, we now have chicken, okay? So just letting you know, we do have some, we will have some chicken for those who don't like fish. Also, ladies' luncheon is July the 12th at 11:30 at House of Grace. At House of Grace, ladies' luncheon July 12th, 11:30 at House of Grace. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we get ready to worship our Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you again for this second service. Lord, we pray for each other, for one another, Lord, and Father, that we may spur each other on and in our walk with you. Father, today as we open up 1 Peter, Father, we ask that you open up our eyes, our ears, our hearts to see what you want us to see. Father, let us not approach this for information, but more so for transformation, that you would transform our hearts and everything about us into the image of your Son. And Father, I am looking forward to singing these songs. Lord, thank you for the praise team. Thank you for our worship leader, Lord. And Father, let us not just sing to be singing, but let us sing to you a new song. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together.
Good morning, church. This is Revelation chapter 19. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. And he himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
In the bleak midwinter, all creation groans for a world in darkness, frozen like a stone. Light is breaking in a stable for a throne.
I will try.
is peace that outlasts darkness, hope that's in the blood. There's future grace that's mine today, that Jesus Christ has won. So I can face tomorrow, for tomorrow's in your hands. All I need you will provide, just like you always have. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. No matter what comes my way, doing, but I know what you've done. I'm fighting a battle you've already won.
Ooh, oh, Lord, could save themselves, their own soul could heal. Our shame was deeper than the sea, your grace is deeper still. Who, oh Lord, could save themselves, their own soul could heal? Our shame was deeper than the sea, your grace is deeper still.
And you alone can rescue, you alone can.
If we can have some ushers come now as we worship with our tithes and our offerings. I'm sore all the time anymore, Miss Ellen. Actually, this weekend we're doing horses and dogs. Yeah, and they will wear you out too. Yeah, yeah. Boy, I can't believe they beat you up here, young as you are. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jordan, would you bless it?
Throughout my history, the faithfulness has walked beside me.
If you have your Bibles, I hope that you do. You turn to 1 Peter as we begin a new study and a new book. Coming out of Romans, if you join us on Wednesday night, we're in 1 John and 1 Peter on Sunday mornings. A brother can sing, can't he? We are blessed here at Waldo with some great gifts, using their talents to be able to play music and to sing. And so David's probably one of my favorite singers when he sings. I love his voice, and Aaron has followed him, and I've watched Aaron grow up. I love his voice, and that just ministers to my heart so much. I hope it does to you. I want to share with you, I want you to think about something. I hope that you're taking notes, okay? I really need you to take notes. I want you to write things down so that you don't forget it. Write in your Bible, write on a piece of paper, write it somewhere as we go through this. Let me know that you're getting it, okay? Because that is how we encourage one another in our growth, in our walk with the Lord, that we are growing together. We're in this together. But I want you to walk with me. We're coming on the 4th of July week. And when we mention the 4th of July week, we think of freedom. We live in a blessed nation, a blessed country, where we have the freedoms that many other countries don't have. We can gather together and we can worship together at this point, in this stage in our lives, that we don't have to meet underground, or we don't have to meet in a hidden house somewhere, but we can come together and sing together, worship together, study together. And so we are very blessed. Also, I want to thank our soldiers and for fighting for that freedom. Those who've died and those who've shed blood and those who've given of their sacrifice and their time. Don't take that for granted. It is so great. And thank you if you've served and are serving. You're such a blessing to us. When we think about the freedom that we have, we owe it all to the Lord, because we have freedom now as a believer in Christ Jesus. We're no longer enslaved to sin anymore, but we have been set free by the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus in our life. So I want you to walk with me as we look through this book of 1 Peter. And I want you to imagine with me for a minute that you don't have that freedom anymore. As a matter of fact, I want you to think about you were having to hide out to be able to gather together and sing together and worship together. That you may meet in this house this week, or you may meet in this house the next week, or you may have to meet in the underground here. And I want you to think about that. I know it's hard to do that because we have been blessed for so long that we don't have to think about that. But I want us to use our sanctified imagination, and I want us to think about that. Because the reason I say that is because we see here in this passage of Scripture in Peter, where he was writing to the saints, he's writing to the believers, and where are they? They are scattered. They're scattered. They're not just in a one place. They are scattered throughout. And the reason they're scattered is because of persecution, and because of things that if they are seen worshiping the Lord, if they are shown following Jesus Christ, then because of their faith, that they could be imprisoned or they could be killed. And I want us to think too, because we live in a technology society where if we want to send something out, we send a text message, or we send an email, or we send a group message, and it's very easy to get information really quick. But as he's writing this letter, it's going to be sent out. And can you imagine the snail mail here and how it goes out? And maybe they met in a place and this letter was read, and they have to have good memories to be able to take what was read and share it with the other believers who are scattered out. And this letter was written to encourage them in their walk. And that's what we're going to do here over the next few weeks, is we're going to encourage each other by this letter that Peter wrote. So let's stand together at the reading of God's Word. I don't believe we're going to get real, real far. Maybe the first three verses. We'll see. Maybe four. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and the sprinkling of His blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that in His great mercy He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Father, oh Father, use me. as your messenger today. I don't take that lightly. And Father, I pray that today you will open up all of our minds and our hearts to see what you want us to see. To be encouraged by your words written through Peter. And Lord, we know that he wrote this through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Not only for that day and time, but also for this day and time. Father, let us lean and learn and glean from the things that you want us to know today. We know that your word will not return void. So Lord, if there's someone here that's lost, I pray that today they would be saved. If there's someone away from you, I pray today they would run back to you. Lord, if there's someone discouraged, I pray that they would be encouraged. And Father, there's never been a time that I haven't been to the Word of God and I haven't come away encouraged by your words. Glorify yourself in this moment, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. First of all, most of the time, whenever you do a letter or you write a letter, you write your letter and at the very end of it, you put sincerely Eddie. Or you put sincerely John, or you put sincerely Trad, or whatever. So you have to wait to the end of the letter to find out who wrote the letter, but not here in the Scripture. We know immediately who wrote this letter because he says his name. He says Peter. And Peter wrote this letter as well as the second letter to 2 Peter. And he wrote it to a church that is scattered, to the saints that are scattered throughout the region. He's writing this to encourage them of their faith and their position of who they are in Christ Jesus. And I want us to learn just a little bit about the author of this letter. And anytime you see a letter, you want to know a little bit about who is writing this letter. And whenever you think about Peter, you automatically think about certain events that's happened in Peter's life. Maybe you have a particular one in your life that you remember about Peter. When I think about Peter, I think about a son of thunder or someone who opens his mouth maybe sometimes before thinking. And you think about Peter, you think about the times that he's denied, and we're going to get there here in just a minute. And so many of us have different thoughts about the writer of this letter. And so when I think about Peter, there's four things that I want us to see here as we look at the author of this book before we get deeply into the book. One of the first things that I think about in Peter's life is obedience. When you think about obedience, there was a time in his life when he encountered Christ on a lake. And it would be there that Peter had fished all night long. And for those of you who are fishermen, you know sometimes when you fish and you hadn't caught anything, it can get frustrating. And you just got to have the longevity of being able to continue doing it and fished all night long. And then there's this man on the side of the lake. And he yells out, "Cast your net to the other side of the boat." Probably thinking, I've been out here all night long and this person's telling me to fish over here. It'd be like Jim Borm going out and he's fished this same bank for 3 or 4 hours and he hadn't caught a fish. And knowing Jim, I know now that he's kind of frustrated because he hadn't caught a fish. And all of a sudden, this person says, "Hey, cast along that log." Well, I've cast along that log 10 times already and I know there's no fish there. "Oh, go ahead and cast on that log." "Okay, if you say so, I'll cast upon that log." And Jim casts and he gets a bite and he pulls it in and it's like 7 fish on one lure. I can hear Jim's excitement right now and him getting his camera out to take a picture of it so that everyone will see what he's talking about, because no one is going to believe this that I've caught 7 fish on this. But Peter casts the net to the other side and it was so many fish that he couldn't even get it in. He couldn't even get the net in because it was so full. And when we look at that, we think about the obedience that he had just to take that stand, to be able to cast it to the other side. There's times in Peter's life that Jesus was teaching him about obedience. About obedience. I want you to think about your life. There's times in your life that Jesus is going to teach you about what it means to obey him. About what it means to cast the net on the other side. About listening to him when no one else listens to him. about following Him when no one else is going to follow Him. Listening to Him when it don't make sense. You think about obedience, you also think about Noah. Noah was asked to build an ark, and there hadn't been any rain, and there's no lakes, and there's no oceans close by. But God had told Noah to build this ark right here in the middle of nowhere. And what did Noah do? Noah did what God said. Even when everyone else was maybe making fun of him or they were ridiculing him. But you know what stands out more than anything about Noah? It's not the ark that he built. It's the obedience that he had. It's the obedience that he listened to God no matter what anyone else says. There's going to be things in your life that there's going to be tests that's going to come up in your life, and it's a test of obedience. It's a test to whenever God says to go and you don't know what's out there or you don't know what's on the other side, but you know that God is with you. Whenever He's told Abraham to go to another land and he had no idea where he was going or what he was getting into, he just trusted God in that moment, and he listened to God in obedience. I believe this with all my heart. There's going to be times in your life when God is going to speak to you through the Scriptures and through the inspiration of the Spirit, and it's going to be a time of obedience in your life. Time to just listen to God and trust Him in that moment in your life. See here, Peter would just listen to God, and he threw it on the other side. And because he listened to God, guess what happened? God filled His net. God filled His net. Now let's bring this into a practical stance. How many of you have children you've tried to teach them obedience? Sometimes I look at your faces, you're thinking, oh yeah, right. You try to teach them obedience, and you do that for their well-being. You do that to help them out. You do that to help them out in the days to come. You do everything you can to teach them about obedience. Many times you will say to them, you just don't listen to me. You're not listening to me. You're not listening to a word I say. And you know what? Listen. Sometimes God says the same thing about you. The very things that frustrate us in our own families and our own kids are the things that God is teaching us as well. That we need to listen. And that we need to follow. And we need to trust God in the situations. And knowing that when you trust God and you listen to Him, not that it's a prosperity gospel, but there is a blessing that comes from listening to God. There's a blessing that comes from being obedient to God in your everyday life. When you think about Peter, I also think about faith. Not only just obedience, but faith. Well, what do you mean? Well, there was a time when Peter was in a boat. He spent a lot of his time in a boat, right? There was a time when he was in a boat and he looked up and he saw someone walking on water. And he looked as though it was a ghost. And come to find out, and it was Jesus who was walking on water, because he had waded back and he's coming to them. And it looked like a ghost. And when it was clear that it was Jesus, Peter, being the first one, said, "Let me come to you. Call to me to come to you." And he stepped out of the boat and he began to walk on water, and then he began to sink. There's going to be times in your life, as well as Peter's life, that your faith is going to be tested, and God is going to call you to a deeper faith, to trust Him even when it seems impossible. Even when it seems impossible. You see, many times Peter gets a bad rap because he began to sink. But what about the fact that he even got out of the boat? I mean, what if God told you to get out of the boat and walk on water? Many of you, and myself as well, are going to say, when I get out of this boat, I am going to sink immediately. But Peter got out of the boat. And he began to walk on water. And to his demise, what happened was he took his eyes off Jesus. As long as he had his eyes on Jesus and he was walking to Him, he was walking on water. It's only when he took his eyes off Jesus that he began to sink. You see, this is a wonderful application for our lives, to keep our lives and our eyes on Jesus no matter the circumstances. You see, what got his attention was the wind. What got his attention was the storm. What got his attention was the waves. And when he began to look at those things in his life, it was then and only then that he began to sink. When you and I go through this journey that God's called us to, when we take our eyes off Christ and we begin to put them on our circumstances and the things going on in our life, we get overwhelmed. I don't know about you, but maybe you've come into these doors today and you know what? You feel a little bit overwhelmed. To the point maybe you're a little bit anxious. You don't know how this is going to turn out. You don't know how you're going to do this. You don't know what's going to happen here. And you're a little bit overwhelmed. For some of you, say little bit is an understatement. I am really overwhelmed. I have no idea what the next step is going to be. I have no idea. But here's what I do know. I don't know what today holds, but I know who holds today. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Lord, I need you to help me keep my eyes on you. Lord, I need you to help me keep my eyes on you because I know that in and of myself, I am not strong enough to keep my eyes on you. I need your strength in me to keep my eyes on you and to trust you when you tell me to get out of the boat, that I'm going to get out of that boat and I'm going to keep my eyes on you. Trust me, there's going to come a time in your life, maybe not literally, that he tells you to get out of the boat, but he tells you to take a step of faith. Amen. He tells you to take a step of faith. Do you know why we don't? Because we're afraid. We're afraid that he's not going to help us. We're afraid that we're going to fail. We're afraid that we're going to sink. It's the fear that keeps us from the faith. An old wise preacher has always said, when fear is knocking at your door, send faith to answer it. Jack Russell. Whenever fear is knocking at your door, you send faith to answer it. To get out of the boat, to walk on that water, that whatever that water is for you, whatever that circumstance is for you, that you trusted. This is Peter that we're talking about. This is the one who wrote this letter. He had obedience and he had faith. And then one of the third things that we see is that he had patience. Now, I'm talking about some of his strong suits. We're going to talk about some of his weak suits here in a minute, right? Because there are no strong men of God. Only weak men with a strong God. And so when we think about his patience, I mean, they're in the Garden of Gethsemane. And all of a sudden, they're going to arrest Jesus. We're going to see his strong patience and his weak patience, okay? I don't know about you, but my patience sides on the side of weak. And so here, they're going to arrest Jesus, and Peter takes it upon himself. You ever done that? Take it upon yourself? And next thing you know, you think, boy, I wish I wouldn't have took it upon myself. Sometimes you jump the gun, you say things that you shouldn't have said, and you hop out there thinking you're going to take control of the situation. And Peter jumps out with his knife. I don't know how I would like to see that knife. But he takes out his knife. I don't know if it's this long or if it's this long or if it's like a dagger. But anyway, he cuts off the ear of one of the soldiers to the ground. I mean, imagine that. Jesus picks it up. Can you imagine picking up an ear? Right? Picks it up and puts it on the side of Malchus. And he says, oh, Peter, Don't you know who I am? I could call a myriad of angels, and they would come at my beck and call if I ask them to. You know, he wasn't patient in that moment to trust the Lord that it was all under control. Jesus had been telling them of this time that was coming and just wasn't getting it. And this was a teaching moment. You know, Jesus has teaching moments. Jesus has teaching moments with the disciples. Jesus has teaching moments with us. How many times has Jesus had to teach you when you've opened your mouth and you shouldn't have? Or you've done something that you shouldn't have? I thank God for those teaching moments in my life. Sometimes they hurt, and sometimes they hurt worse. But always know that when Jesus is teaching you, it's not to hurt you, it's to help you. It's to bring you where you need to be. And we see this moment in his life where he does it. And then there's another moment in Peter's life that I think about. And it's a moment that Jesus teaches him humility. It's a moment that Jesus teaches him humility. If you think you're somebody, God will teach you real quick that you're really not without him. And there's this moment in his life whenever he's following behind. Jesus has been arrested and he's following behind and they recognize him, but they don't recognize him. And he had already tried to stand up for the Lord and said, "Lord, I will die for you." And Jesus says to him, "Peter, Peter, watch your mouth. You mean you're going to die for me? This very night, before the rooster crows, you're not going to deny me once. You're not going to deny me twice. You're going to deny me three times within a number of hours." I imagine Peter thought, that's not happening. There's no way that that's going to happen. I love you, Lord, right? How many of us love the Lord? There's no doubt in my mind that Peter didn't love the Lord. He loved him so much. I'm not going to deny him. I don't know what he's talking about. And it wasn't long when the pressure kicked in. "Weren't you one of them?" "I'm not." "Surely you were one of them. Your accent gives you away. I am not one of them." Second time. Peter was famous for this. A third time come, "You must be one of them. I am not." Only to hear at that moment the rooster crow. Can you imagine that moment in his life when his eyes caught Jesus' eyes? And he began to weep bitterly because he denied Christ three times. This was a teaching moment. And then just a few days later, after the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, here again on that seashore, Peter would see Jesus on the side of the lake. So much so that he jumped into the water and he began to swim. I love this story. I mean, you know that he was thinking about the moment when he denied Christ three times after Jesus. He hadn't forgot it. He jumped into the water and he swam as hard as he could go to Jesus. And he would have a wonderful conversation. It is a teaching moment for Peter. And they're walking along the shore there And Jesus asked Peter this question. He said, "Peter, do you love me?" "You know I love you." "Then feed my sheep." Walk a little further and he says, "Peter, do you love me?" "You know, Lord, that I love you." "Then take care of my lambs." They walk a little further and he says, "Peter, do you truly love me? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Been feeding my sheep. It wasn't by coincidence that Jesus asked him 3 times if you love me. For the 3 times that he denied him. You see, in our own life, there's times that we deny Christ. Maybe not so much with our words, but many times with our actions. And we have to ask ourselves, do we truly love Christ? Where we come back and say, I absolutely love Christ. Then not only show me with your words, but show me with your actions. You see, your actions speak louder than the words that you can ever give. By showing your love for Christ. No matter what. And so we see that he learned humility. I mean, it is a hard thing to learn humility, right? It is a hard thing to learn when Jesus teaches you about humility. You know what it's called? It's called humbling you. It's called humbling you and getting you to see and me to see that we are nothing without Christ and that we need Him in everything and every aspect of our life. Now let me go a little further. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world. I find that really neat. Strangers in the world. Have you ever come across someone that's a stranger? Stranger, someone that just kind of stands out, they're a little different, and you just don't know much about them, and that's a stranger. Sometimes we'll teach our kids about strangers. Watch out for strangers and all those. What is it? What is the definition of a stranger? Think about that. But here he says that to God's elect, strangers. He's calling the believers in Christ strangers. Why? Because to the world, you are strangers. You don't look like them. You don't sound like them. You don't behave like them. Sometimes. You look different than everyone else. Why? Because Christians should look different. Not in a bad way, but in a good way. You have ties to the kingdom. You are a child of the King. Jesus said, if this world hates me, it will also hate you. If the world loves you, something isn't right. You don't conform to the world. You're to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You are to look more and more each day like Christ. And as you are strange to the world, guess what? The world is strange to you. I don't know about you, but this world is looking more and more strange. It is. Really strange. It's making sense. It's coming clear. The closer you get to Christ, the more you know about Christ and His kingdom, the stranger this world becomes. Why? Because this world is of Satan. This world is of the devil. It doesn't look like the kingdom of God. It doesn't act like the kingdom of God. And so therefore, as a child of God, you don't look like the world. And you should be transformed more and more into the image of Christ. And then it says scattered throughout Pontus. Scattered here, we talked about that a while ago. Scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. If you are a born-again believer, you have the Spirit of God living in you. I want us to understand something. You have God the Father, you have God the Son, and you have God the Holy Spirit. A lot of times we talk about God the Father and God the Son. But just as important, and just as one, you have God the Holy Spirit who indwells and lives inside every believer. Every born-again Christian. And the Holy Spirit comes and leads you, guides you, directs you, convicts you that when you're not obedient and when your faith isn't there, the Holy Spirit of God convicts you. Praise God for the Holy Spirit of God who leads and directs us through the sanctifying work. And that's neat. Get this. Y'all stay with me real quick. We're landing here, okay? Sanctification means that God is doing a work in your life. You're not yet glorified, but you're not who you used to be because God is working in your life. Every single one of us are under construction. That's why we should never think that we're better than anyone else, because we're not. God is working on you. God is working on me. God is working on them. God is working in the life of every believer. So don't worry about where they are. Worry about where you are. And know that God is working in your life. Quit trying to help God out with Him working in someone else's life. God doesn't need your help to help someone else. Yeah, but I don't know if God sees what I see. Oh, He sees more than what you see. As a matter of fact, you really need to just see your own life. Because you and I, we need so much help, we can't even concentrate on someone else. Because there's so much going on in our life. And so the sanctifying work of the Spirit, why? For obedience in Jesus Christ and the sprinkling of His blood. And then He goes on to say, grace and peace be yours in abundance. I love this. Peter mentions it. Paul mentions it often. Anytime, if you sit under my teaching at all, you know where I'm going here. Because this is a phrase that Paul used in the epistles. This is a phrase that Peter uses. He says, grace and peace be yours in abundance. You can't have peace without first having grace. He doesn't say peace and grace. He says grace and peace. Your life without grace is chaos. Your life without grace is empty. Your life without grace is void. But when the Prince of Peace comes into your life and becomes your life, you now have the grace of God in your life. Nicodemus came. John chapter 3. Nicodemus came in John chapter 3, and he came at night. I find that really neat. He came at night to guard his reputation. He was a teacher of the law. He didn't want anyone seeing that. But there was something missing in his life. There was something that was intriguing to him about Jesus. And he comes and he asks Jesus, what must I do to be born again? And He said, you must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born from above. And Nick was confused. Nicodemus was confused. He's thinking, how can a guy my size, my weight, my height be born again? He wasn't getting it. What he's literally saying to Nicodemus is, you must be born from above. You must be born from above. And to be born again means to be born again spiritually. There is a good chance that you've come into this building today and you're not born again. I have seen people. I have witnessed this with my own eyes. I have seen 70 and 80 year old men come to the understanding and the knowledge that if they died, they would split hell wide open. Because they wasn't born again. They had worked in the church, they had volunteered in the church, they had done all these things, but they were lost as last year's Easter egg. Because until you come to faith in Jesus Christ and you believe and know that He did for you what you could not do for yourself, you are lost in need of Jesus Christ. That is why Peter is writing this letter. And listen, praise be to God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy. He has given us new birth into a living hope. You must have a new birth. Listen to what God is saying to you today. You must be born again. You must have a new birth in a living hope. And that living hope is in the Son of Jesus Christ. I may sound mad, but I'm not. I just want you to be saved. I just want you to know Christ. He changed my life. He gave me a new heart. I'm so thankful I don't live the life I used to live. But I am so grateful that He's not done working on me. You see, the believer, they don't serve and worship a dead hope. They serve and worship a living hope, which gives us hope every single day that we live. It is absolutely amazing. And I'm about done. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, this world, I've got news for us all. And this may offend some, but it will be a joyful noise to others. This world isn't about you. It's not. It's about Jesus. He is a theme through the whole Bible. We play a small inkling of a part. And what you do in that time in your life will determine where you'll spend eternity. If you don't believe me that there is eternity, one day you will. If you don't believe me there's eternity, one day you will. That's all I can say. You'll either spend it in hell or you'll spend it in heaven. Because the Bible says that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And what you do with it now will determine where you'll spend eternity forever. And my heart's desire is to tell you the truth. Don't worry about anyone else. Just worry about getting your life right with Christ. Turn from your sins. Turn to Christ. He took all of your sins on the cross. And He died for the sins of the world. Trust and believe Him and follow Him the rest of your days. Father, what a joy, what a joy to open up the Scriptures. Oh, it makes me come alive. I pray for that one here today that may be lost. I don't know who they are, but you do. And I can't save them, but you can. For that one, it may be away from you that's not where they need to be. Lord, I pray that today they would run to this altar and enjoy and say, God, I've been away, but I'm here. Or maybe that one that's struggling with something going on in the family and they run to this altar knowing I can't fix it, but I know that you can. So Lord, however you're dealing with someone today, that's between you and them. But I pray, Lord, that more than anything, that today they would make that right. Whether it's for salvation or whether it's for just getting their life where it needs to be. You see, we can drift a million miles away. But even when we drift a million miles away, all we have to do is turn around and you're right there. Father, Peter failed many times. But his failure didn't mean he was finished. His failure wasn't fatal. And Peter is just one man. We find people throughout the Bible who've blown it and who've messed up. we think about Moses. Father, you wasn't done with him. We think about David. Many times we write people off, but Lord, I'm thankful you don't. So Lord, let this be a reset for many, that from here today, all the days of their life, they walk humbly before you. Lord, I know that your word will not return void. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for loving us with a cross. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand together.